Well, hey there. I'm Lauren Dimmitt Waters, and I'm a New York City-based blogger and influencer who's been covering beauty, style, and lifestyle for what seems like forever. But now, I'm a woman in midlife who wants to discover all of the secrets to growing younger. I'm ready to explore topics that deal with health and anti-aging, especially when it comes to beauty, fashion, wellness, and longevity. I'll find the foremost experts to unearth what's new, what works, and even what you shouldn't waste your money on. I'm on the hunt for the latest and greatest discoveries and strategies to help us all get through this journey called life with a little humor and a lot of attitude. I want to keep fighting the fight so we can all grow old ungracefully. So welcome to Beauty is a Bitch. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of Beauty is a Bitch. Dr. Roshini Raj is a graduate of Harvard College and NYU School of Medicine. She is a board-certified gastroenterologist with an active practice and holds a faculty position as Associate Professor of Medicine at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine. She is also a television personality and medical journalist. In 2015, Dr. Raj founded Tula Skincare, a probiotic-based skincare line sold through Ulta Beauty, Neiman Marcus, Nordstrom, etc. Dr. Raj appears regularly as a contributor discussing a range of health topics on shows including Today, Inside Edition, Dr. Oz, and Rachel Ray, and on networks such as CNN and Fox News. Dr. Raj is the author of What the Yuck, The Freaky and Fabulous Truth About Your Body, and Gut Renovation, Unlock the Age-Defying Power of the Microbiome to Remodel Your Health from the Inside Out. She lives in Manhattan with her two sons. I'm also a two-son boy mom.
All right.
Yes, I am. Yes. And they were born in New York, but how are you today? I'm so happy to have you here because we are going to talk about something that we don't talk a lot about, but we're going to tackle it here. And that is, well, why we sometimes encounter, or many of us encounter, problems with our stomachs while we're traveling, i.e. can't poop.
Yeah, it's as a gastroenterologist, it's something I hear all the time in my office. And I also have personally experienced it. So lots of experience talking about it and would love to share with you and your listeners.
Well, yeah, I hate to say I have too. And I'm sure most of my listeners have as well, even if they don't want to admit it, but I will. What are common stomach ailments that happen when traveling?
So there are a lot of things that can happen when we travel in terms of our gut health. I think, you know, we all kind of have heard the Montezuma's revenge, the kind of traveler's diarrhea when you eat something that's a bit iffy, especially in a developing country. So you can get that situation, which is not fun. You know, we've all been there as well. I would say that's one common ailment. The other thing for sure is what you just mentioned, you know, going, becoming constipated. So really slowing down when you travel. And there are a lot of potential reasons for this, which I can get into with you, but it can happen, you know, not only when you're traveling or going on a long plane ride, it could even be a long car ride or a long train ride. It's, you know, part of what's going on there is that being stationary and sedentary for so many hours just slows everything down. And I think a lot of people don't realize that being active and exercising actually is really important for your gut health and for your regularity. So apart from even travel, when I have patients in my office talking about constipation, one of the first things we talk about is how active are they? Can they increase their, you know, even if it's just rapid walking during the day, because when you're moving your body, it actually helps your bowels move better as well.
I just heard that. So yes, that is not news. I'm glad I work out, but you're right. When we travel, we tend not to, walk a lot, but that could be different than actually working out. Yeah. So what's causing these?
So we'll talk about the inactivity, and it's not so much while you're traveling, because you're right. Once you get to the destination, you're happy to explore and walk, but it's really that, how did you get there? The journey. I was just in Japan, you know, it was a 12-hour plane ride. And, you know, if you're not good about every so often getting up, walking around the plane, which most of us aren't, we just want to sleep and get there. That's definitely one factor. Another thing is, you know, you usually are eating differently when you are traveling. So even if you're a healthy, high fiber diet person at home and you get lots of fruits and vegetables and your fiber cereals and your brands, chances are when you're traveling, you're not going to be as good about sticking to the high fiber diet. So we tend to have less fiber, which can also for sure slow us down. We tend to be somewhat dehydrated when we're going on long journeys, you know, trains, planes, et cetera, can really dehydrate you. And you really need a lot of hydration and water in your system to keep your bowels, you know, moving smoothly so they're not getting hard and dry and difficult to pass. And then the last thing I would say is, well, two things. One is jet lag. So the time difference, you know, we know jet lag is caused because your circadian rhythms are thrown off when you travel and your body is, you know, thinking that it's day, but it's actually night or vice versa. Well, it turns out that your gut is also sort of determined by a circadian rhythm. And so that also kind of goes into jet lag when you're traveling. And that's another reason why everything gets thrown off with your bowel movements. And I would say the last thing is being in a different environment. So there are some people in particular that are very kind of sensitive to their bathroom environment. You know, they don't want to go number two at work. They don't want to go number two in a public place. And sometimes just being in a different space. It's a hotel room. It could be your friend's apartment that you're visiting. And even that can make you feel just less comfortable. And then your body kind of shuts down and doesn't go. So a lot of things that contribute to not going as frequently as you do at home. And you know, if it's a little bit off and it doesn't bother you, that's fine. But it can actually really cause some issues for people and impact their travel as well. So that's why we talk about some strategies you can do to help keep moving while you're traveling.
Okay. Well, that would be my next question. So what are tips to alleviate travel digestive issues?
Yeah. Well, if we're specifically talking about the constipation one, right. Definitely I would say keeping hydrated. So you want to really remind yourself to increase your water intake or at least maintain a regular water intake while you're on the plane or the train or the car ride. And it could be water or electrolyte, you know, kind of drinks. And then fiber is I think the key, you know, because that's one of the things we tend to reduce when we travel, not intentionally. But so I would, you know, make sure that you are maintaining a high fiber intake, and whether that is taking a supplement, and we'll talk about Yayday in a bit, but really traveling with some kind of fiber is important. And, you know, it could also be a fiber cereal or a fiber bar. You know, I think fruits and vegetables are great to maintain if you can, but I will say when we talk about the diarrhea issue, you have to be a little careful about, especially raw produce when you're traveling. So that's why I think taking a fiber supplement or a fiber bar is probably the safer bet for travel.
That happened to me in Mexico.
Oh gosh.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the fruit.
Oh, okay. Exactly. The fruit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So after eating more fiber, what else?
Yeah. So also we talked about activities. So you want to do, you know, really try to maintain the activity. And again, if you're traveling and exploring, that's probably not hard to do, but just lying on the beach isn't that active. So get in the ocean, get in the pool, make sure you are getting some kind of aerobic exercise every day. That'll help your bowels move more regularly as well. And then the sleep, we definitely, you know, as much as we can want to, even though we're excited to be somewhere else, get enough sleep, because sleep and your gut are very connected. There is like a gut sleep connection we know about now. And they can both affect each other. You know, poor sleep leads to poor gut health and vice versa. So you want to maintain that as much as you can. I think probiotic rich foods are also great. So fiber is a wonderful prebiotic. That means it serves as fuel for all your healthy bacteria, but probiotics are the actual healthy bacteria themselves. And I think especially when we travel, because things can kind of throw off the balance of our microbiome, either taking a probiotic supplement or making sure you're trying to get some yogurt, you know, with live and active cultures for breakfast every day while you're traveling can also really help maintain, you know, a nicely balanced microbiome.
All right. Okay. And then you said that's for one kind
exactly.
of issue. Yeah. Now, what about the other issue?
The other end of the spectrum, exactly.
Literally the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah. So a lot of this, I would say, is prevention, you know, right. So prevention is worth a pound of cure. So how do you avoid getting, you know, the dreaded as you got in Mexico? And it's really about being careful. And by the way, you can be as careful and, you know, really careful. It can still happen. And
so I was.
I bet you were. But just some rules of thumb, you know, the fruits and vegetables are usually the ones that carry the bacteria or the parasites. So you want to be very either avoiding them altogether, or, you know, if you or you can trust whoever's washing them in the right water, that's one thing. But I tend to avoid them in certain countries or in certain situations. Water, of course, a lot of these organisms are waterborne. So you want to be using bottled water, even for brushing your teeth. So even a tiny amount when you're brushing your teeth can cause illness. So, you know, make sure you're kind of strict about that. Even in the shower, you know, you can only be so careful, but you try to keep your mouth shut. It's not a usual shower where you're very, you know, casual about keeping your mouth open or shut. Those are the big things. You know, when you talk about fruit, they say that if you can peel the fruit, that's safer, because usually the bad stuff is on the outside. So peeled fruit is safer than a raspberry, for example, that has all those nooks and crannies that could hold on to different germs. Some things to bring with you in case you do get sick. I think Pepto-Bismol is a great travel companion. I always bring it with me. Don't think you have to bring the liquid. They come in chewable tablets as well. These are over the counter, as you know. And so if something starts to feel a little bit off, I don't hesitate to do that, to chew some of the Pepto-Bismol tablets, because not only do they have a soothing effect on the stomach, they actually have some antibacterial properties as well. So I think that's a good thing to keep on hand. And then some things just to look out for, because if you have any of these symptoms, you really should go see a doctor wherever you are traveling. And that is...
What is the sign that it's time to go see a doctor?
Well, if you see any blood in the stool, that is definitely a warning sign. If you're having severe abdominal pain, or if you're having very high fever, these are all reasons why you should seek some medical attention, and most likely you would be getting some antibiotics when you go. Yeah.
What about Imodium?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I think Imodium is another thing that's a reasonable thing to keep on hand if you start to get a little travel-related loose stools. But I will say, if you're having severe abdominal pain or bloody diarrhea, one of the things is, if you have a severe infection, your body is trying to get it out. And that is kind of why you're going to the bathroom so frequently. So you don't actually want to stop yourself up and like keep those bugs in your body. You do want it to work its course. So if things seem to be kind of going in the wrong direction, I would lay off the Imodium and go talk to a doctor.
Yeah. I travel with both. And then I kind of wonder like, you know, should I, but what?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another question then. Mm-hmm. What does jet lag, how does it affect your gut? I mean, I know what jet lag is, but how does it affect?
Yeah, but for your gut. Exactly. So it's really interesting what we now know about our microbiome. And I keep using that term, but I'll just define it a little bit. It's this community of bacteria and other organisms that live, that are constantly inside of our intestine. And it turns out that, and I'm talking about trillions of bacteria, they actually dictate a lot of what goes on in our body in terms of not just digestion, but immunity, metabolism, even mood. You know, we're finding that the gut is connected to so many things. And it turns out those bacteria, just like we as humans have a circadian rhythm, they also have a circadian rhythm. And it's linked, you know, if things are all in harmony, it's linked to ours. But just like we get jet lagged, they can also kind of get jet lagged and thrown off. And I think that's part of why when we're traveling, things don't quite feel right in our gut at times when there's a big time difference, because it also takes those bacteria a while to sort of get adjusted and function the way they would normally in the original time zone. So that's partly why your gut is sort of getting jet lagged the same way you are. The other thing is jet lag, we know, causes sleep disturbances. You know, you're not
sleeping. For sure.
And as I was saying before, there is a very, very strong connection between sleep and the gut. So we know that when you're sleep deprived, they've actually done studies looking at medical students because they often are sleep deprived. And they show that when they're on night shifts and they then look at their microbiome, so they do stool samples, they test, that when they have had a lot of sleep deprivation many nights in a row, their microbiome profiles tend to become less balanced, more unhealthy. So more of the bad, quote unquote, bacteria compared to the good bacteria, as opposed to when you are sleeping well and you're well, you know, getting good quality and quantity of sleep, you have a much more balanced, healthy microbiome. So that's also something that could be going on when you're traveling and you're not sleeping properly, that it's affecting your gut health in that way.
Is that related, though? I'm just thinking to, I know they say if you don't sleep well, that you tend to make bad decisions eating, like eating decisions, which, right. Yes. So is that related? Right.
Yeah, that is yet another way that sleep affects your gut, because you're absolutely right. When you're sleep deprived, it's really interesting. Your body starts to create more of the hunger hormone and less of the feeling full hormone. So of course you're going to just be hungrier. And I think we've all experienced that. I remember after, 30-hour shifts in the hospital, the only thing I wanted to do was go eat a cheeseburger at like 9 a.m. when I got off my shift, and that's the other thing. Not only are you hungrier, but you are craving less healthy foods. So less gut healthy foods. You're, high fat foods, processed foods. Like nobody is sleep deprived and saying, I really want a salad right now,
Right.
Unfortunately, you really are craving
a greasy burger, right?
Yeah, that are in turn not good for your gut. So that is absolutely another way why sleep deprivation can poorly affect your gut.
Well, also, how about when you're traveling? I mean, I know with me, I want to try like the local foods. I don't eat the way that I normally do.
Exactly.
Also, I don't drink the way sometimes I normally do.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. Alcohol is not great for your gut. And we do often, indulge more when we travel than we would normally do in our routine at home. And so that's another thing when we're talking about how to kind of protect or maintain your gut health when you travel is definitely keeping alcohol in moderation as much as you can, drinking plenty of water with the alcohol, because that can definitely have an effect. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so you gave 5 tips to alleviate travel digestive issues, but what can we also be doing, like as far as when we're traveling and eating? Because sometimes the food isn't what you're, especially if you're in a foreign country, the food's just different, But I do remember Greece was one country I did very well in because I was eating their yogurt and a lot of olive oil. That was like the one trip I remember where I felt okay.
The Mediterranean diet is probably the best diet in the world.
Right.
So Greece is a great place to be when it comes to eating healthy. I think what I personally do and what I recommend is bringing some things that you're comfortable with from home. So I actually always bring a bag of almonds because that is like to me the go-to snack where in an airport, when you're hungry, it's often very hard to find, reasonably healthy or even reasonably priced food. Same thing when you're traveling, you're walking around on a tour of a city, in between meals, you get hungry. And so rather than being tempted to get the third gelato of the day,
right,
which is what my kids do when we're in Italy. But for me, it's not really a great idea. So I like to keep the almonds on hand. They're great for just like, and again, when you're jet lagged also, you wake up at 3 a.m. sometimes and there's no room service available at that time and you're starving. I think it's another great thing to have. I think breakfast is kind of a good way to, whether you bring something, a cereal that you like, or even just mentally say, okay, at least this one meal of the day, I'm going to maintain some normalcy, because it's very easy with those breakfast buffets to kind of go nuts. And then you have lunch and dinner on top of that. And, then you come home and you're 10 pounds heavier and you're like, So I feel like just mentally agreeing, like sort of making a pact with yourself. Well, breakfast, I'm still going to try to be a reasonably healthy person and maintain my, again, I think yogurt is a great staple for breakfast. So that's what I recommend. I do think the good news is you are probably going to be walking, if you travel like I do, you're going to be walking more than you normally do. So
hopefully
you are being healthier in that sense. But I think trying to keep things in sort of somewhat reasonable terms is always a good idea.
It's hard when you're traveling with boys, isn't it?
Oh my God. Yeah, for sure. And they're also picky sometimes. So if there's a pizza or pasta they like, you're just happy to be there.
I know. Whenever I travel with my kids, I'm not usually a very big breakfast eater, but they're all about the breakfast buffet or whatever. Yeah. They're all about it. So I find myself, sometimes being like, oh, I try to keep it healthy, but then there's something that grabs my attention. I'm always.
Yeah. And I mean, I also just want to say that, we're talking about a week or 2 weeks at a time. You know, we don't, in terms of the healthy eating, like you also should enjoy your vacation and not go too crazy over
it. Oh, for sure. I agree. But we're also talking about how to keep your bowels in check as well. So it's and when nice. I,
yeah.
Right.
Fruits and yeah, the more fiber you can get, especially during the breakfast time, I think that'll go a long way.
Because 2 weeks of having bowel issues is not fun, even if you're eating, you know, great food and stuff. It starts to.
No, you're right. And I have to say, you know, I have a lot of patients who have kind of chronic constipation issues, and for sure it gets much worse when they travel. And then I have people who don't really have any issues, but except when they travel, they do experience it. And there are things that go along with constipation. You know, I'll just mention hemorrhoids, if that's okay, because that is something people get often when they travel. Number one, because they're more constipated. And number two, because they're sitting for a long period of time. So very often if someone comes to me and they've never really had a hemorrhoid issue before, and now they're feeling something there and I can examine them and I see it, I always ask, you know, were you on a long plane ride? Did you go on a long train ride or car ride? Oh, wow. And 90% of the time, the answer is yes. You know, like because they were sitting and putting pressure on that area for so long.
Yeah, that sitting for a really long time can mess you up, can it?
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And even car trips, like the road trips, yeah. Just being in the car for a long time. And yeah.
Right.
So, okay, let's switch gears here. So you launched a product called Yay Day, correct?
Yes.
Now tell us about it and what it is and when you launched it and how it can help us.
Yeah. So I have been, I mean, now for 20 years, so fascinated by and interested in the microbiome. So this whole idea of this community of bacteria that live inside us and really determine so much of our health. And over the last couple of decades, we have learned really how impactful it can be. And that's why I wrote my book, Gut Renovation, which you mentioned, right, which really talks about chapter by chapter, different ways our gut health affects everything else in our body. So how we sleep, how we exercise, our mood, all of these things are affected by our gut, and they also can affect our gut. So it's always a two-way kind of conversation. So for example, we know that, you know, altered gut microbiomes can lead to kind of lower mood and depression. And at the same time, stress and anxiety can lead to disrupting the balance of your microbiome. So again, it works both ways and it's very connected. And to me, this, I think a lot of people are talking about gut health now. It's become a very popular topic of conversation.
Oh, yes.
I know you've spoken about it on your show, but I think the gut-mind connection is what I'm finding so fascinating now. We're just learning more and more about that specific aspect of gut health and how, you know, we are since COVID, but even before, but much more now in this sort of mental health crisis in our country and even the world, you know, and having kids, I see it in their age group, I see it in my own age group. And so I feel like we really need to take a sort of inventory of what's going on and what can we do to really help with that. And I feel like this gut-mind connection is one potential avenue to really help. So that's why I launched Yay Day with my partners. And it's basically a supplement to address the gut-mind connection. Fiber to me is the number one most simple and effective thing you can do to improve your gut health. As I said before, it's a prebiotic. We have a prebiotic blend of different fibers that really will help boost the growth of all of your healthy bacteria. And we know that that's so important for regularity, for overall gut health, strengthening your gut lining, digestion, but also because your gut health will be healthy and your microbiome will be healthy, you'll get all of those downstream effects, things for like immunity, even things like cholesterol, blood sugar, all of these have been linked to gut health. And then mood in particular. And so that's why we also added magnesium. That's the other core ingredient to Yay Day, because this is something to be taken at night so that the magnesium really can help with the sleep and calming. And so magnesium has been shown in studies to really help with quality of sleep, but also to kind of diffuse anxiety and sort of those nighttime jitters that keep you awake. And so to me, we're sort of addressing both sides of the gut-mind connection. And then we added one last component, which is digestive enzymes. And these are specifically to partially digest the fiber that we're giving you, because the one downside to fiber, it's such an amazing ingredient. And I'm like, whether you're getting in food or supplement, I'm a huge fan of fiber. It can cause some bloating if you're taking it too much, too fast. And that's why I didn't want people to get turned off, because people do get turned off from fiber when they feel bloated. that's why we put the digestive enzymes in there to really take care of that issue. So it helps the fiber break down a bit, so it's easier to absorb without producing gas. And so that's Yayday in a nutshell. It's a nightly supplement to help with sleep and regularity. And we believe that if you're sleeping better, you're going to poop better, you're going to feel better, and just live your best life.
And you're going to wake up and have a yay day.
That's exactly. Oh, okay. I mean, the feeling that, you know, when you go wake up in the morning, you have that really satisfying evacuation. You're just right. Like, I'm ready to go. And so that's what the feeling we want everyone to have.
I've actually tasted it and taken it. So
oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The taste was also important. I didn't want it to be like a cardboard flavor. You know, fiber doesn't have the best reputation when it comes to taste. So we really.
No, it's not bad. It's sort of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a little fruity, a little bit.
To me, it's sort of, you know, the it's a citrus.
Citrus.
So I feel like it's sort of like a lemon tea in a way, but like an iced tea lemon sort of flavor. We have some chamomile hints in there as well. So,
okay. And so you're supposed to take this nightly?
Take it nightly. So we have a travel, because we're talking about travel.
Right.
We have a travel pack. So those are little sachets, which are really easy to travel. You get 7 in the travel kit because, you know, you don't want to bring the whole jar with you when you're traveling, but we do have the, of course, 30-day canister as well.
Okay. And so what made you decide to launch this? I mean,
well, I love gut health. I launched a skincare line based on probiotics, you know, topically applying probiotics to your skin, which is Tula, and it's become very popular and done really well. But I was ready to kind of go even deeper into the gut. And again, this gut-mind connection was something that I felt was really kind of untapped and needed to be addressed. And the truth is, even writing my book, you know, I wrote so much about all the studies looking at how gut health is related to diabetes and Alzheimer's, like so many different things. And of course, the question is, so then what can we do? How do we take care of our gut health so that we don't get all those things? And to me, fiber is the key, you know, like, yes, there are many probiotics out there, but I don't think we're at the point in science to really say, you know, you, Lauren, should be taking this probiotic for this thing. And I, Roshan, should be taking this one, you know, like we're just not there yet. Whereas fiber, we know, is going to help you, me, and everyone, because it's really going to help all of our good bacteria grow. And the point and the fact is, over 90% of Americans are not getting the recommended daily amount of fiber. So that's literally almost everybody is not getting the 25 to 30 grams of fiber that you need a day. And as much as I'd love to say, get it in your diet, it's like, I don't think we're going to be eating 8 apples a day, or, you know, like there's a lot you need to do. So I definitely prioritize fiber in my diet. You know, most of my lunch plate is fruits and not fruits, vegetables. Breakfast is mostly fruits. But I still wouldn't be able to get the amount I need from that. And so that's why I thought it was important to give people a choice, because there have been fiber supplements out there forever, but they really have been so old fashioned and they don't taste good. And even psychologically, people feel like, oh, that's like what my grandmother takes. Like, why would I take it? You know, it's like
that Mucil comes to mind.
Yeah. I'm not naming names, but that's exactly right. And
my grandmother took that too. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even when I tell patients, because I literally end up recommending fiber to like 75% of my patients, because it's good for everything. So many GI things for sure. And some of them listen and take it. And then some of them don't, because they are just turned off by the idea. Like, they hate the taste. They hate the idea of it. They feel like they're 90 years old because they're taking fiber. So my partners and I really wanted to reinvent this whole category of fiber. And because it's so vital for everyone at every age, and really make it something hopefully fun and enjoyable and an integral part of their day.
Well, I almost find like the yay day, when you make it at night, and it's almost like a little, I don't want to say meditative, but it's definitely part of like a nighttime calm down routine, and, you know, kind of like a
100%. Yes. Right. I think, you know, that is a huge part of just having a good night's sleep. That is part of it, is having your nighttime ritual and winding down and calming down. And so we did, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, we did really want to make this part of that very serene, you know, nightly ritual. We have, you know, a beautiful cup and stir, you know, for if you get the welcome kit. And we do, we want it to be, even the colors and everything, we're hoping it's a sort of a soothing experience and part of your wind down to help you really get that great night's sleep, which then sets you up for the great morning poop and a wonderful day.
And a yay day. So
and a yay day.
And a yay day. So how, I guess this brings up the topic because I think gut health and microbiome and this whole conversation that you, that everybody's talking about now, it's so confusing for most people. Myself, aspects of it for myself included. And what are your thoughts on that? Like, is it helping, like the confusion and what should the, what should we, being my listeners and I, what should we be listening to? Because there's so much noise about it.
There really is. And that's part of why I wanted to make this supplement as simple as possible, because you're right. Everyone's talking about gut health. There's some products out there that have like 20 different strains of bacteria and, you know, different herbs and all these things. And I think it just gets very confusing. And again, I'm not sure that there's real science to back those concoctions of like 40 ingredients. So
and it could be potentially harmful, could it not? Yes. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, probiotics in general are fairly safe, even if you have multiple strains, but the herbs can definitely end up causing problems. You know, people don't realize that many strong prescription medications that have strong effects, side effects are derived from plants and herbs. So, you know, just because something is quote unquote natural doesn't mean it's safe, but that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about the complexity, I mean, you're absolutely right. This is a relatively new field in medicine, which is very exciting. I mean, we really didn't know about this, I would say 25, 30 years ago, that this even existed. And people are calling this sort of another organ in your body, this microbiome. But it's still new, relatively new. We're still learning about all the nuances of what are the different strains doing and how do they vary from person to person or even within one person from time to time. So I would say really focusing on what we do know, which is we know fiber is great for your gut because it does serve as a prebiotic. We know that hydration is great for your gut. We know that activity is great for your gut. Like these are things that have been proven and we've known for a long time. And so I would focus on that rather than for now getting bogged down into, oh, I need to get a stool analysis of my specific microbiome and then take a specific design probiotic for, you know, I think it's a little premature for that. I do think that will come in time,
yeah,
but I think right now it's a little early and just focusing on, and again, like I get this question all the time because I talk about gut health and I wrote about gut health. Well, what should I be doing? My top things are, you know, more fiber, more hydration, more activity. If you're doing those three things, you're
better sleep. Better sleep too.
Better sleep for sure. For sure. Yes.
It all comes down to that, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, if you're sleeping well and having good gut health, you're doing pretty well in life, I think, from a health perspective.
Well, yeah, especially as we're getting older. I mean, my audience, we are, you know, in midlife. And those are the things that tend to elude us, like sleeping gets more difficult in menopause, which as you can see, there's a whole trickle down effect. It affects everything. And then you add travel onto it. And oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I was just in Japan. So I'm just getting over the jet lag. I find as I get older, that the jet lag takes so much longer to recover. And I'm getting so annoyed when people say, wait, weren't you there 10 days ago? Why are you still jet lagged?
Like, hey, everybody's different.
It takes okay. Yeah.
And it's true. I do find that the older I'm getting, the longer the jet lag lasts.
Yeah.
And I'm getting it more quickly, like little things, like just like an hour or two time difference I'm really feeling. Whereas before I didn't feel that at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's... it's so fun.
Yep.
Well, this has been great. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, I think we covered everything. I think, you know, just to answer your last question, what should people be focusing on? I think what I'm happy about is people are finally understanding how important gut health is. I think that's sort of the first step because people didn't really realize what an impact it has. So that's great. And then now it's just, okay, so what should we do about it? How do we protect it? And I think, you know, all the things we just mentioned are great first steps.
Well, I'm going to make sure that I leave a link to your book and to your product, to Yay Day and everything in the show notes, everybody, so you can access it that way. And we're going to wrap it up. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us a lot. I have a new Pro-Aging podcast biweekly, so please email Lauren at fountainof30.com for sponsorship opportunities. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. And remember, there are some steps you can take to make travel a little easier for you when it comes to pooping. So thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time, stay well.